Hey everyone, husband here.
And I'm wife. If you've been listening to us, then you know we're all about reading the Bible and reacting to it on our first read-through. Cuss words, crying, laughing, and more.
We're passionate about creating a podcast that takes the sanctity out of the sacred text and simply stating it as we see it.
But we can't do it without your help. We're asking for your support to help us keep this podcast going.
There are two ways you can donate.
Text SACDIS, that's SACDIS, to 533-555 if you're in the U.S. with a one-time donation. Any amount helps.
Or if you'd rather start a sustaining membership, sign up on our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Membership levels start as low as $2 a month.
We are amazed and grateful for our fans that support us now, and you can become one too.
With your support, we can keep Sacrilegious Discourse alive and well for years to come.
So please donate today.
Text SACDIS to 533-555 if you're in the U.S.
Or sign up for our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
I'm husband.
And I'm wife.
Together we're reading the Bible for the very first time.
We grew up without religion and wanted to know what all the fuss was about.
Well, what have we learned so far?
That God is a dick. And apparently some people believe in talking donkeys?
We're not trying to pass ourselves off as experts.
Nope, we're just reading the Bible for the first time and giving our first take reaction.
If you'd like to join us in this venture, you might consider starting at episode 1.
Otherwise, jump in wherever you like.
Alright, let's go read the Bible.
Yeah, let's get to it. Husband!
Wife!
Do you remember what happened last week?
Well, we just got done reading Jeremiah chapter 20 on Friday.
Correct.
And in that episode, Jeremiah was, Peshur got onto him because he was saying some shit. Because Jeremiah is always like, you're all going to die and you all suck.
And I got onto
God's going
to
kill you. And yeah, so Peshur was like, you're going to get slapped in the face and I'm going to whip you like 40 times or something, and then we're going to put you in this fucking torture device that makes you have cramps. And
but we're going to call it the stocks.
We're going to call it the stocks.
Yeah.
And we covered that a little bit in the Q&A if you guys didn't catch it. So
yeah.
We did go over a little bit more about what actually happened to Jeremiah, which was kind of wow.
It was a torture device.
Yeah. But then Jeremiah gets released and he just keeps talking shit.
But I mean, he kind of for sure had it coming.
I guess. But I mean,
everybody had it coming.
I feel like Jeremiah probably had some warning regarding
obviously
shutting the fuck up.
Yeah. You know?
That's just my opinion.
But still.
Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. So anyway, that was Jeremiah chapter 20.
Okay.
Which means that we're getting into
Jeremiah chapter 21.
All right. Let's do this.
Okie dokie.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
All right, before we hop into Jeremiah chapter 21,
okay,
I have to clarify a few things.
Sure.
Okay? So, first of all, the book of Jeremiah apparently is not arranged super chronologically.
Okay?
So, there is a substantial jump from the end of the last chapter that we read, Jeremiah chapter 20.
Yeah.
And the start of chapter 21.
I see.
Okay.
Okay.
So Jeremiah chapter 20 ended in the reign of Joachim, the son of Josiah, who reigned for 11 years.
Got it.
Jeremiah 21 fast forwards about 20 years.
Oh, damn.
To the time when Babylonian armies are in Judah and Jerusalem is besieged.
Okay.
So I felt like that was worth noting up front.
This is where Jeremiah gets to say, told you so.
Kind of, yeah. It should be noted that several events leading up to this have already been skipped over.
Got it.
We read about in 1st and 2nd Kings and Chronicles, okay?
Yeah.
So in 605 BCE, roundabout, Nebuchadnezzar first came to Jerusalem in the reign of King Joachim. And he subjugated the city, and he took captives from the best and the brightest of Judah.
Okay.
So that was like his first little...
So they were already kind of infiltrating Judah.
Yes.
Back when we were reading before.
They were starting to.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to lead up to where we're about to start.
Yeah, no, okay? I was just trying to make it relevant to what we've been reading, that's all.
Yeah, so yeah, that was things that were happening or about to happen.
Got it.
Okay?
Yeah.
So that was, like I said, about 605.
Got it.
Okay, BCE.
Yeah.
So then a few years later, in 598 BCE, Nebuchadnezzar came again in the reign of King Joachim,
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And carried away the treasures of Jerusalem, taking more captives like Ezekiel, which we read about him already.
Okay.
And he deposed King Joachim, and he put Zedekiah on the throne as a puppet king.
Ah.
We kind of remember that,
Right. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So then another few years later, in 586 BCE or thereabouts, okay, so these are like 5 to 10 year increments.
Right, right.
Okay. By the time of, I'm sorry, I lost my place. By the time of Jeremiah chapter 21 that we're about to start, King Zedekiah's reign is almost over.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
Nebuchadnezzar has returned a third time to destroy the city of Jerusalem and carry away the remaining people of Judah.
I see.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the first note, is that all this has happened between Friday and today.
Got it.
Okay.
Right.
20 some odd years or whatever have taken place.
Forward.
Fast forward. Okay. That's my first note.
Okay.
My second note, I want to say this up front before we get there so there's no confusion when I say dude's name.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to hear about a guy named Pashur.
Okay.
Which, that's the guy we were
talking about before, yeah.
Right. But this is a different Pashur.
Different Pashur. Okay. Okay.
And that's important because, you know, bad Pashur was like, you know, beating up
Jeremiah
and putting him in the stocks and stuff.
Yeah.
This is a different, he's not like that. He doesn't
that's
do that.
Not confusing at all.
Yeah. So I might be referring to them as like good Pashur and bad Pashur.
But are we done with bad?
I don't know.
Okay.
I haven't got there yet, but I don't want there to be confusion. So as I continue to take notes ahead, I'll try to let us know.
Definitely a different Pashur.
This is definitely, yeah, that's true. Definitely a different Pashur.
Okay.
And I'm glad that I took notes ahead because we would not have known that.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So, and it's important, I think.
Sure. Yeah. Okay? Definitely.
All right. So all that being said, now let's get started in Jeremiah chapter 21.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord when King Zedekiah sent to him Pashur the son of Melchiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Messiah.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Yeah.
The priest.
Sure.
Saying, please inquire of the Lord for us, for Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, makes war against us. Perhaps the Lord will deal with us according to all his wonderful works, that the king may go away from us. So they're like, oh shit, those things that Jeremiah said were going to happen, they've been happening.
Right.
This sucks. Hey, Jeremiah, do you think maybe you could talk to God for us?
Fix this maybe?
And it's like they never heard anything that Jeremiah said except that he said it, you know?
Right.
And so they're like, hey, remember when you were foretelling that this would happen? Make it not.
Right.
It's kind of funny to me.
Sure.
Then Jeremiah said to them, thus shall you say to Zedekiah, thus says the Lord of Israel, behold, I will turn back the weapons of war that are in your hands. with which you fight against the king of Babylon and the Chaldeans who besiege you outside the walls.
So he's gonna actually fight against the Israelites.
Exactly. Those exact words were in the notes that I took. Interesting. Yes. He's like, God says, fuck off with all of your bullshit.
Too little, too late, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I will assemble them in the midst of this city. So
he's just letting them right in the doors. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I myself, God,
right, yeah,
will fight against you with an outstretched arm and with a strong arm. I'm sorry, an outstretched hand and a strong arm, even in anger and fury and great wrath.
Mm.
He's like, you said, too little, too late. I'm gonna get ya.
Dude's pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will strike the inhabitants of this city, both man and beast. They shall die of a great pestilence. And afterwards, says the Lord, I will deliver Zedekiah, king of Judah, his servants and the people, and such as are left in this city from the pestilence and the sword and the famine, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into the hand of their enemies, and into the hand of those who seek their life. And he shall strike them with the edge of the sword. He shall not spare them or have pity or mercy.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if you recall either Kings or Chronicles, Zedekiah did get captured, and right. He had to watch his sons killed in front of him.
Yeah.
And then they put his eyes out.
Right.
And he was basically like tortured until his dying day.
Well, it's funny to me that, so, you know, again, we've talked about this before where God seems to hold to account the kings that are running, you know, like back when we were reading in Kings and Chronicles and stuff mm-hmm. like that.
Mm-hmm.
But Zedekiah was actually put in power by Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah.
Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah.
And, so how is that anybody's fault but Nebuchadnezzar's?
Well, because Zedekiah tried to protect his people.
All right.
So.
Okay.
He was like, thank you for making me a puppet king.
Right, but it's not like God installed him, and it's not like the Israelites installed him. It was a foreign person who installed this person in the first place, right?
Let us never forget that this was retro written.
No, yeah. None of this, with regard to the actions that God is taking,
mm-hmm.
is anything that is even remotely believable to me.
Right.
But I'm trying to view it in that light.
Make it make sense.
And say, God's punishing them for this guy, essentially, and how he's running things, because he's not making them godly enough. But they weren't even installed by God. They weren't installed by their people. He was installed by a foreign leader.
But the people were supposed to come to God, and they didn't.
Yeah, they keep saying that in a general sense, but they also keep referring to the kings, and they keep referring to the people that are in charge.
Sure.
So it seems to me that it's more of an overarching, this is how the everything is going because of these leaders,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to punish you all
mm-hmm.
because of that.
Well, yeah.
So
exactly.
It just feels a little not fair. That's all.
Yeah. We've commented on that before.
You know, it's just not fair.
That's not fair.
Yeah. Especially if there's a God. You know, if there is a God, this feels very not fair.
Right. No, I totally agree with you.
And doesn't account for individuals. Doesn't account for anything outside of the leadership sucks.
Yep.
So.
Yep. That's a fact, Jack.
Yeah.
Now you shall say to this people, thus says the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. He who remains in this city shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. But he who goes out and defects to the Chaldeans who besiege you, he shall live, and his life shall be as a prize to him. So he's saying, there's no sense fighting. Your only hope is in surrender.
Right.
And that will be if you can surrender to the Chaldeans, I'll make sure you live through this.
And so I'm assuming that because God is hypothetically telling them to do this.
Mm-hmm.
He's putting them through trials that he wants them to go through.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly.
All right.
If you're able to surrender to the Chaldeans, that's the first hint that you might be able to surrender to me.
Got it.
So he's saying, don't fight, just give up. Surrender.
Sure. Okay? Yeah.
For I have set my face against this city for adversity and not for good, says the Lord. It shall be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire.
Hmm.
As opposed to burn it with a nuclear bomb. Or, yeah. And concerning the house of the king of Judah, say, hear the word of the Lord, O house of David. Thus says the Lord, execute judgment in the morning and deliver him who is plundered out of the hand of the oppressor, lest my fury go forth like fire and burn so that no one can quench it because of the evil of your doings. So
this is him having retribution against the king himself. Is that, mm-hmm. is that about what was going on?
And there? The leadership.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Behold, I am against you, O inhabitant of the valley and rock of the plain, says the Lord. That's the city.
Sure. Yeah.
It's just a way of
the city did bad.
Yeah.
Bad city.
Who say, who shall come down against us, or who shall enter our dwellings? But I will punish you according to the fruit of your doings, says the Lord. I will kindle a fire in its forest, and it shall devour all things around it. Mm. The end. But okay. I want to put a note there. When he says, I will kindle a fire in its forest.
Yeah.
I could save this note for later, but it's too cool.
Is it kindle or kindle?
Kindle.
Okay.
Did I say kindle?
You said kindle twice.
I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. It was bothering me.
I will kindle a fire.
Okay.
I was doing that dyslexia thing to do. I will kindle a fire in its forest. Okay.
Uh-huh.
This reference is likely to the royal palace, which in 1 Kings is referred to as the house of the forest of Lebanon because of the considerable quantity of cedar used in its construction.
Okay.
Remember we, do you yeah, remember yeah. us reading about that?
Yeah. Yeah.
I just thought that is so cool.
It is.
So that forest is about to fucking burn.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
That's
sad. It is. Poor Lebanon trees.
I don't know how I feel. This chapter was, it's just kind of perfunctory, right? Like here it is. God's going to destroy them all and they're going to get captured and the king's going to die. And the things that Jeremiah said are coming true. Look how they're coming true.
I don't think it was perfunctory. I think it was like, I didn't expect that God was going to be like, if you will surrender to the Chaldeans, I'll consider letting you live and give you another chance eventually. It won't be easy.
Yeah.
You're going to be captured and you're going to be living elsewhere. You'll be a slave and stuff, but I'll make sure you survive this. I didn't see that coming. So.
Well, but he had to, I mean, we knew that they were going to get captured. We knew that they were going to come back at some point after they get captured. So mm-hmm. like, obviously they have to put that in a frame that God is allowing this to happen. You know,
sure.
they have to frame it that way. So,
but I find it interesting the way they allow that.
Sure.
And I wasn't sure how they were going to, you know, they're always like, the Asherah poles are all gone. And then we find out later they aren't. But they never explain, like, God saying why some still exist, right?
Right.
We just skip over that explanation.
I wonder if there's a point in the Bible where we're going to reach where they're just going to stop talking about all these
Baals and Asherah poles and Molech.
Well, because obviously they didn't all completely disappear, right? Like ever.
The pagan worshiping things.
Yeah, that's still, like we've talked about it before, there's still remnants of that in Christianity today. So
yes.
it never totally disappeared. I would assume that it becomes less and less, right?
They start railing against it. Less and less often? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, clearly, because, like, we still have a Christmas tree to this day, right?
Yeah, right. So, I mean, it just has to, like, I guess it just fades over time. I don't know. But I would imagine the New Testament is less railing against idols and things like that, probably.
And probably more concentrating on the persecution of Jesus and his miracles or whatever.
Right. And I'm not saying that they don't mention idols in the New Testament. They probably do.
I don't know. I haven't ever read it.
Right. But I would imagine it's much less than they do. Because they talk about it all the time in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
At least thus far.
Yeah.
So.
I was just thinking back about Christmas trees again and how those are basically Asherah poles.
Are they?
If you think about it. Because they were decorating the wooden, you know, the trees, and they were like, you know, doing their sex acts and their sacrifices and stuff under the trees.
I imagined it completely different because the Asherah poles they had in their houses, which I just imagined as like a wooden idol of some type, and the trees were something that they did rituals with outside as well as inside. When the festivals came, they would bring, like, you know, Saturnalia and stuff like that. They would bring the trees inside, but that was a different aspect.
Okay, now
of
I
it.
Need to know much more about Christmas
trees. Well, yeah, no, I definitely want to dive down into the, you know,
a Shira pole versus Christmas tree,
you know, like all that stuff. Like, I would really be interested and intrigued by some of those practices that were still going on in biblical times, because they are very relevant in some sense to what we're actually reading right now, because those practices were still happening. So
and are
somewhat still relevant even today.
Yeah.
They got carried through in some meaningful fashion.
I wonder,
with regard to some of our practices today.
I wonder if the maypole falls into that. Are you familiar with the maypole?
No.
Okay, so in May, okay, this is totally off topic.
Yeah.
But in May, I don't know what they're celebrating, but they put up a pole and they tie like ribbons to it and then they dance around the thing,
okay,
the pole, and you know, wrap the ribbons around.
Sure.
And I don't know if that's pagan or if that's something else. Like, I don't know.
I have no idea. Maybe one of our listeners can tell us if you know what the maypole is all about.
Well, I mean, all you got to do is Google it.
Yeah, we can.
So
Google it.
I'm thinking maybe sometime in May we'll do a maypole.
If it's worthwhile. Yeah.
I'll make it worthwhile. Oh, we'll make that shit worthwhile. I'm interested. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Sorry.
Well, that was Jeremiah chapter 21.
Sure as fuck was.
Which means we'll be back tomorrow with
Jeremiah chapter 22.
All right. We'll see you then.
Bye.
Hey, wife. I guess that's the end.
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.